Everything was all right, still going according to plan. They spit on him. They teased him. They said he was through. Just a little bit of what he endured for me and for you. And when he gave up the ghost, Satan thought he killed the Creator. But Jesus flipped the script on him just 3 days later. He burst forth from the grave and said, "All power is mine. Now go preach my gospel to all of mankind." And I believe every word that the Bible says about him, and you and nobody else will ever make me doubt. And we know that he's coming back for us one day. So let's give him some praise on this Easter Sunday. Amen. 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 For those of you that have your Bibles, please turn with me to the 23rd chapter of Luke. And we will start at verse 39 and go through verse 43. Ready?
Yeah.
Right. And one of the malefactors, which for him, railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards for our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for an opportunity to once again break the bread of life, which is your word. And we thank you for all those gathered here today. And we ask that you fill this place with your presence from front to back and from wall to wall. And we just ask that you open our ears and open our hearts and open our minds to the understanding and the truth that will be proclaimed in your house today. And I ask you right now just to decrease me, and we just magnify you. So let your word go forth in power and might and conviction. Let the people realize, Lord, these words aren't mine, but they came from you for such a time as if someone here today needs to hear this message, Lord. And we just think that you will just comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, Lord, and just realize that your word will be proclaimed, and that you will have your way in this house.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, and just speak through me and move through me and flow through me and teach through me in spite of me, Lord. Don't let your word be hindered, tainted, diluted, diffused by anything you find is pleasing in me, Lord. But go forth anyway, Lord. Go forth through this week and this humble vessel, Lord, and just have your way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He's worthy. To Pastor Barnwell and our officers and our members and our visitors and our friends, and this happy Resurrection Day.
Yeah.
I'd like to acknowledge just a few special visitors that we have in the house today. My cousin, Minister Cheryl Robbins, is here today from Baltimore, from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Please stand. My mom's sister is here today, Sister Minnie Smith. And our cousin, Beverly Redfield, is here today.
Amen.
And one of my oldest, closest friends, old and tinker, not old and age, Sister Lorraine Moore is here today. I'm not going to be up here long, but today we're going to speak from the subject of "Lord, remember me."
Amen.
See, Lord, this story that we just read takes place during the crucifixion. And Jesus hanged between two criminals, that were thieves.
Mm-hmm.
And it was execution day. All the political and legal establishment decided that on this particular day, the criminals that were worthy of death would be executed, and three men hung on crosses in front of the people. Now, crucifixion was the most heinous, horrible punishment in existence. It was a slow and painful death.
Mm-hmm.
And during this time, one of the thieves next to Jesus began to ridicule him and said to him, "If you're Christ, save yourself and us."
That's right.
Now this poor soul was doomed from the start. The first word out of his mouth sealed his fate.
Mm-hmm.
That word was "if."
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to say another word. And that brings me to the first point we're going to talk about today. In order to receive salvation, we must recognize who Jesus is. All right, now repeat after me. When it comes to Jesus, you better recognize. Now, this criminal was going through the same pain and torture that Jesus was enduring. And we can examine his words and we can find out a lot about his character. We can find out that he was unrepentant. We can find out that he had a lot of doubt. And he even had the nerve to mock Jesus and say, "If you are who you say you are, do something. Save yourself. Save us." This man obviously does not recognize who Jesus is. And if you don't know who Jesus is, you're going to treat him just like any other man.
That's right.
Your interactions with him will be completely different than someone who has a grasp of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was saying the same thing that the angry mob that was responsible for this execution. They were taunting him, and they were teasing him, and they were telling him that if he was indeed who he claimed to be, he wouldn't be in the position that he's in right now. That's pretty short-sighted. I mean, now how many times have people said to you, if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't be suffering the way you are right now. If you were really a Christian, all that stuff you tried to get me to believe was true, why am I doing better than you are? See, we know there's more to the story, don't we? But however, the second thief, he offers us a contrast. In the midst of all this that's going on, he speaks up and he chastises the first thief and he says, "Don't you have any fear or respect for God?" And he lets him know that he had no business trying to taunt Jesus the way the rest of the crowd was, because he was hanging and dying on the cross too.
That's right.
Now we can examine his words and find out about his character.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us to the second point, which is in order to receive salvation, we must confess and acknowledge our sin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now this thief points out that they deserve what's happening to them, but Jesus doesn't. He then begins to confess and acknowledge. He says, "They're on the cross because of what they've done. They deserve to be there." He says, "We've committed crimes and we deserve everything that's happening to us right now, because Jesus doesn't."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, see, you and I have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. The Bible says that we were born in sin.
Mm.
It was a nature that Adam passed on to us.
That's right.
Now Romans 5:19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." See, we know that means, for by one man, Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners. But by the obedience of Jesus, many were made righteous. See, when it comes down to it, the fact that you are a sinner has nothing to do with what you've done.
That's right.
It has to do with how you were made, how you were born.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I remember when my daughter Kristen was less than a week old, and my dad came over to visit her, and she was sleeping peacefully in her crib, and that was a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
See, because Kristen cried a lot when she was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen cried all the time, and all the time Kristen cried. It was as constant as the sunrise, and it lasted a lot longer. But, I mean, you could count on it. But at this particular moment, she was asleep. And believe me, Kristen being asleep, that thing was cause for celebration. I wanted to shout praise to the Lord, but I couldn't, because that would wake her up and she started crying again. But during this rare moment of peace and quiet, in the midst of this blessed tranquility, my dad looked at me, and he said something I'll never forget. He said, "Son, you got a little sinner on your hands." Now, she's going up 13. Now, I can see if he said it today. But Chris was only 6 days old when that little nugget came out of his mouth, and he had the nerve to call my baby a sinner. Now, I mean, I understood salvation, and I knew that one day she was going to have to grow up and make a decision about the Lord for herself. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't understand why he would say that right then. But my dad, who was one of the greatest Bible teachers I ever met, was teaching me something that day, and that was, it's not what we do that makes us sinners. Mm-hmm. See, at only 6 days old, she couldn't have done anything wrong. Mm-hmm. But she was still a sinner. Not because of what she did, but because of how she was born. Mm-hmm. And the sin nature that Adam passed on to us mm-hmm. made us sinners from the moment we got here. Mm-hmm. Now this thief, he understood that, and he knew he was a sinner. And he knew that Jesus could make him righteous. Mm-hmm. In fact, he acknowledged that he and the other thief hanging up there were sinners, and they both needed Jesus. But you can only confess and acknowledge your own sin.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Nobody can do that for you. That's something you have to do for yourself. Mm-hmm. And at this moment, this thief proceeds to pray a prayer that each of us can learn something from. He prays, Lord, remember me.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
That's right.
And Jesus responded to this man's plea and this man's faith and acceptance of him and said to him, today
mm-hmm.
you'll be with me in paradise. But let's look a little bit more closely at what this thief was asking Jesus. Lord, remember me. Now, what does that mean? Now, before we answer that, let's review what's taken place so far. Unlike the first thief, the second thief has recognized who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike the first thief, the second thief has confessed and acknowledged his sin.
Yes.
Unlike the first thief, the second thief has admitted his guilt and the fact that he deserves his punishment. In short, this thief has submitted himself to Jesus as a broken and shattered man.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's something that each of us, at some point in our lives, we need to do.
Yes,
we need to recognize who Jesus is. We need to confess and acknowledge our sin. And we need to realize, we need to admit that we're guilty and deserve the same punishment before a righteous and holy God. We need to submit ourselves to God as broken and shattered individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that, we can fully understand what this thief's prayer was all about. When he said, Lord, remember me.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't just saying to Jesus, remember me, in the sense of don't forget about me, because Jesus doesn't have a faulty memory.
That's
he
right.
never forgets about
That's
us.
That's right.
Therefore, the man had to be asking something different, something deeper. What I submit to you today is that as he was acknowledging his sin and his faults before God, he saw that he was a broken and dismembered man. And that when Jesus came into his kingdom, he had the power to remember him, to put him back together. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, we all need to pray a prayer like that. Lord, I've sinned. I've acknowledged I've fallen short of your glory. I've blown it. I've messed up. I'm torn up. I'm dismembered. Remember me. Put me back together. Make me whole. Okay? Now, some of our saints can remember a song that we used to sing. It says, what can wash away my sin?
Mm,
nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. See, the blood that Jesus shed for us makes us whole.
Mm-hmm.
The blood that Jesus shed for us takes our lives that have been shattered and broken by disappointments, shattered and broken by hurts, and shattered and broken by things in our past, and it remembers us.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's been times in my life where I didn't know what to do. I've been at the crossroads, I've messed up, I've been shattered, I've been broken, I've been torn up into pieces, but I thank him for the blood.
Yes, sir.
The blood that gives me strength from day to day, that never loses its power, the blood that makes me whole, it remembers me. It remembers me when I've been dismembered.
Yeah.
Now after the thief has asked Jesus to remember him, we never hear another word from him.
Mm-hmm.
But the attitude and the faith that his words convey still remain. This man, this criminal, this thief, he had a great deal of faith. And we can learn something from him.
Mm-hmm.
He's asking Jesus to remember him
mm-hmm.
when he comes into his kingdom. Now pay attention now. It's taking place. All three of these men are hanging up on a cross.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the day, all three of them would be dead. But this thief realized that even the grave wasn't going to prevent Jesus from coming into his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That he was still going to be able to do something for us, to do something for him. And you and I need that kind of faith. This dying man looked past what the circumstances were and believed that Jesus could still work it out.
Mm, that's right.
Okay? And this brings me to my next point. In order to receive salvation, we must accept Jesus as Lord.
That's right.
okay? Now, here's where religion gets us in trouble with that. Religion tells us in order to receive salvation, we need to join a church.
Mm-hmm.
And religion tells us that in order to receive salvation, we need to get baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And religion tells us that in order to receive salvation, we need to receive a right hand of fellowship. And religion tells us we need to join up with some auxiliary, sing the choir, become a deacon, be an usher, join the trustee board in order to show the world that we receive salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And all those things are fine. There's nothing wrong with any of them.
Yes, sir.
The Bible tells us we need to come to church.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible tells us we need to get baptized. And the Bible tells us we need to fellowship with one another. And the Bible tells us we need to be busy, productive, and serving and working until Jesus returns. But none of those things is a substitute for salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Bible says that in order to receive salvation, we must accept Jesus as Lord.
That's right.
And when we do all those other things and don't do that, the Bible says that's a form of godliness, but it denies its power.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do we accept Jesus as Lord? Somebody's got a question here. I'm glad you asked that. Romans 10:9 says that if you will confess with your mouth the
mm-hmm.
Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you mm-hmm. shall be saved. Now, I actually heard Deacon Keith preach this about 3 weeks ago in the hallway. He said, today's church, he says, today's church culture has placed too much emphasis on people joining a church and not enough emphasis on people joining the church.
That's right.
See, Romans 10:9 reads, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's a lot of people out there that will tell you and they believe Jesus existed.
Mm-hmm.
They'll tell you he was a great prophet. They'll tell you Jesus was a great man. They'll tell you Jesus was an influential man.
Mm-hmm.
But they always stop short of confessing him as and recognizing him as the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
See, when we call him Lord, we're recognizing his authority.
Mm-hmm.
When we call him Lord, we're recognizing his power. When we call him Lord, we're recognizing his rank.
Mm-hmm.
When we call him Lord, we're recognizing his deity, that he was God in the flesh. He's not just another man. He's the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
See, whenever I address my pastor, I don't call him James. That's his name. I don't call him James. I call him Pastor. Even if he ever gave me the permission to call him James, I don't think I could ever do it, because outside of here, he still has a rank and an office and an authority that I have to respect. He's not just another man, he's pastor. And when Kristen addresses me, she doesn't call me Kelly. That's my name. So why did she do that? Well, she's grown accustomed to breathing. Okay. But I have authority over her as her parent, and that she's got to recognize, and she does that by calling me Daddy. Okay. Now, in order for us to receive salvation, we must recognize Jesus as Lord.
That's right.
Not like the first thief who said it, but the second one that said Lord. And we don't just say that out of our mouth. We believe it in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Then we'll be saved. Okay? And that's the decision that each of us needs to make. And the time to make the decision is now.
That's right.
The doors of church open. And on this greatest of all holidays, Resurrection Sunday, you have a choice to make. You may have been calling on Jesus your whole life, but you've never called upon him as Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You can come to this altar and do that right now. Okay? You may have been in church your whole life, but you've never been in the church.
Mm-hmm.
You can come to this altar and join the body of Christ right now. Okay. Now, maybe this isn't the particular church for you. That's okay. But you still need to be a part of the church. And the Holy Spirit will place you in the particular assembly where you need to be. Now, don't misunderstand. We love to have you fellowship here with us every week.
Mm-hmm.
But our concern is for not where you spend your Sunday morning. Our concern is for where you will spend your eternity. And you can make that decision right now on where you'll spend your eternity. Okay. Now today we've talked about recognizing who Jesus is and acknowledging and confessing him as, and acknowledging and confessing our sin and accepting Jesus as Lord. And this is your moment of truth. Now some people over the years have used this thief as an excuse on why they don't really need to join the church or why they really don't need to be baptized, but because Jesus accepted him anyway. But we have to realize that this was a particular situation, and he had a unique, for lack of a better word, out clause. He died that day.
Mm-hmm.
And when he died, he knew exactly what his future held.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Please stand.
Everyone will worship him when he gazes on